If your credit card bills have gotten out of hand, call Consolidated Credit now. If you're making the minimum payments, but your balance is just not going down, call Consolidated Credit now. If the interest rates on your credit cards are so high, it will take years to get out of debt, call Consolidated Credit now. They've helped over 5 million people with credit card debt. They can consolidate your debts into one lower payment, reduce your interest rates, and get you out of debt fast. If you're struggling with credit card debt, the first step is yours. Call Consolidated Credit now. Call 800-350-3241. 800-350-3241. That's 800-350-3241. Consolidated Credit Counseling Services Incorporated, 5701 West Sunrise Boulevard, Fort Lauderdale, Florida, 33313. Not a loan company. Licensed by the New York Department of Financial Services or by the Vermont Department of Financial Regulation. Maryland DM 19, Oregon DM 80031. Licensed by the Virginia State Corporation Commission. License number DC 32.
On the planet. I'm Alex Worley. Welcome to Business Rockstars. Now let's go to Mark Lack.
I'm Mark Lack on Business Rockstars, connecting a community of entrepreneurs. Joining me is the CEO and founder of Pure Solutions, Nandit Mehta. It's great to have you on the show.
Thanks for having me.
Give me the quick elevator pitch. What does your company do, Pure Solutions?
My company is Pure Solutions. We develop 100% biodegradable and non-toxic and plant-based pest solutions for the home and agriculture.
So we're talking about making sure your ideas are original. Is your company an original idea? What's your unique value proposition?
So our unique value proposition is that we are able to give you 100% organic, non-toxic pest products at the same pricing, and if not better pricing, than their conventional synthetic counterparts. Not only will they be good for your health, but they'll be safe to use around your pets and kids.
So how can people make sure that their idea is original? Nowadays, ideas are a dime a dozen. Everybody has ideas. There's even shows created for people to just pitch their ideas. So how can somebody make sure that they really have an authentic, unique idea, and then can turn the idea into something that's profitable?
So, I mean, the first thing, as you know, you had mentioned before, is research. We all have Google at our fingertips, especially with our phones. You can always Google your idea and find it. But beyond that, the USPTA has a patent and trademark search service. You can always look up key terms regarding your ideas and be thrown into a whole world and kind of figuring out who's touched what, why they've touched certain things, and if that exactly is your product. Beyond that, you'll always maybe stumble upon somebody who's working along the same product that you are or the same area that you are. But that's where the originality kicks in. Someone else may be developing non-toxic pest solutions, but we're essentially highlighting our own company by utilizing essential oils. Another company may use dichotomous earth. So things like that. You have to figure out why your value proposition is the best, in a sense.
So if somebody has the same idea as you, maybe it's the same type of product that you have, mm-hmm. How do you differentiate yourself in the marketplace?
I think marketing is key with that.
I definitely agree. You've got to have unique marketing. You can have the same product. Right. There's a great saying, great products don't make money, mm-hmm. Great marketing does. So how can you make sure that you differentiate yourself in your marketing?
Imagery and aesthetics, it's been one of the key things for us. In the agricultural world, most of these companies don't put any focus on the aesthetic of their product. You get an empty, a big white container that just says the product name in plain black text and the directions on the back. If you look at any of the newer players that have come into the agricultural world, they, especially on the consumer end, they have made all of their products look like you want to display it in your kitchen counter.
Yeah, Apple does a great job of that as well.
Exactly. I think Apple kind of spurred it with their retail stores and just the iPod minis back in the day. But essentially, that's one of the key things, especially on the consumer goods realm. Everything is being done in a digital era today. We have Photoshop. We have 16-year-olds, 12-year-olds that can probably...
It's never been cheaper, easier, more
exactly.
cost-efficient to get great aesthetics and to have your products or your marketing mm-hmm. or your website look great at an affordable price. Would you agree?
Agreed. And then people don't trust it if it doesn't look good. Because
why do you think that is?
So
people
cheap.
Judge things on their first impression like that.
Exactly. And so when you have a 16-year-old that can make a website that looks like it belongs
legit,
to a Fortune 500
expensive.
Company...
Yeah.
then it becomes very, you mistrust anyone, and even I do this myself, who won't give you that same quality of work because you become used to it. It's so mainstream now, like you said, it's so cheap.
So what are some resources or websites or tools that you'd recommend that, you know, like Fiverr.com or 99 Designs or Odesk? Do you have any that you recommend that you use?
Yeah, so I've used Odesk before on and. Random old project I was developing.
You can hire people for anything, for
exactly.
a penny on the dollar, right?
Fiverr is great because it's cheap for little mini tasks.
Everything starts at $5.
Exactly. And then Strikingly has been my go-to for web pages. It's literally a drag-and-drop type interface. You just upload your images. It's very aesthetic-oriented. And it's gotten to a point where I can pump out web pages, full-on web pages, in 20 minutes. I never had the ability to build a web page, so.
Do you leverage social media for testing? You know, like when I wrote my first book, I made a mistake of not testing the headline, cover, and image on Facebook. My next book coming out is going to have that. It could be products, it could be headlines, it could be, we're talking about unique ideas here. You could be testing on social media and A-B split testing, headlines, images, pictures, anything like that before you really created or put a lot of money behind it. Do you have anything to add on testing and using social media?
I think that I've never utilized social media myself in any personal experiences, but being in the VC world, it's been something that I have a key focus on. Many companies have utilized social tactics, especially in social media, to test to see if their product's going to work, to see how the market will react to it. Some companies have even gone so far to, you know, a box of poop. I think it was, Cards Against Humanity.
Yeah.
Things like this actually build the brand more than the actual game that they sell, Cards Against Humanity. And so watching other companies, I think it's a very useful strategy. Just unfortunately, with my company, we were focused on horticultural producers first, and they don't make many of their purchases based off a TV ad or a Google ad. It's normally word to word mouth with other farmers.
So we're talking about unique ideas on Business Rockstars. I'm Mark Lack. Joining me is Nandit Mehta, the CEO of Peer Solutions. So what if somebody's listening right now and they have a business that they're stuck in because they created it however long ago, and maybe their idea, their product, their service, their company is not unique? How can they still succeed?
So, you know, we've obviously put on the points of aesthetic, but I think the number two points is customer testimonials.
Social proof is definitely one of the most important things. I think not enough companies that I consult with are really capitalizing on creating systems and procedures and processes that are, you know, I call them data mining, or extracting testimonials and social proof and case studies.
Exactly.
And then leveraging that and putting it back out in the marketing, you know, social media and different avenues like that to make sure people are seeing the social proof, because it's one of the most powerful ways to influence people.
And you're right. And I think the first thing that you pointed out, it's a multiple-step process. Most companies or people that are running these companies don't view it like that. They think, oh, it's a social a testimony. Okay, I need to put someone's quote on my webpage. But it's not that simple.
It's
the
more
data
important
analysis
than that.
Aspect. You're trying to figure out what the consumers are reacting to, what causes them to click, what causes them to stay for an extra 5 minutes, things like that. And not only that, it goes above and beyond. I used to, in an old internship, I did some e-commerce work. And so we were using AdSense and AdWords and a few other services, but we would even figure out what websites they were coming from. So what kind of triggers cause someone to go from one website to another? Are there key terms? Why do people think the way they think? If you can get in some sort of insight into this and apply it towards your company, you will see that people, a lot more people will be coming to your pages. You can get consistent traffic onto your pages. And that will equate out to sales.
So you're using metrics and analytics to make sure that you're making strategic decisions?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, how important is that? Because I think a lot of people nowadays are doing crazy tests and guesses in regards to how they're going to generate more people. So you're using metrics and analytics. How are you doing that? Are you using specific types of systems, resources, software to track this?
Fortunately, with agriculture, most farms aren't digitized. Everything is, you know, either on an Excel sheet if it is digitized, or it's actually just known by the people running it. So a product that we actually are going to release soon is a organic cloning gel. What we found is that every citrus grower in America does not plant a single crop by seed. They clone their biggest yielding, most tasty orange tree, and they replant that clone, or reclone it and plant the clone thousands of times. You know, going through the metrics, it's the most probably common source of planting that actually occurs in major agricultural spaces in America. We would not have developed this product if we did not realize that 75-80% of farms are utilizing cloning as a procedure rather than seed starting. Things like this will lead you to create a different product than what you had originally envisioned. And what you originally envisioned will never be your ultimate product. So it's very key and very necessary to go through these data points, figure out why the consumer wants what they want, why they're not reacting or why they are reacting to what you have.
So data, metrics, analytics, it can be a boring subject. It's extremely important. As we come to a wrap here, entrepreneurs, aspiring entrepreneurs, we're talking about how do you make sure your idea is unique and profit from it. So they've got an idea, whatever that might be, but they want to turn it into something profitable. Mm-hmm. Simple advice, what do you tell them?
There is always a way. Today, you have Dollar Shave Club, which caused
an amazing company. They crushed it. And it started off just as a test and kind of a joke.
It did. So when I was over at Science Inc., they came into the company and we actually funded them. Dollar Shave Club has revolutionized shaving, and they did so through the subscription model. 5 years ago, if you had asked me if I would pay someone like X amount of dollars a month to get something shipped to my mailbox, I'd say no. But today, I would. They utilize data, and they utilize noticing what the trends are going to become 3 years down the line to figure out that if we want to disrupt the whole shaving industry, especially on the men's side, we need to do so through a subscription model because men don't like to go to the store to purchase. I mean, that's just a very basic point. But if they didn't look for that trend or they didn't notice that trend, they would have never been where they are today. Viral marketing can only do so much.
Love it. Simple advice, but very powerful. We talked about a lot of different things here about the importance of making sure your idea is unique and profitable. I appreciate you for coming on the show.
Thank you so much.
Sharing your insight.
Appreciate having me.
I'm Mark Lack on Business Rockstars, connecting a community of entrepreneurs. Join us on Facebook, Twitter, and online at businessrockstars.com.
Mind-blowing deals happen all day, every day at DealDash.com. DealDash is great fun wherever you are with your smartphone. Do you play games on your phone? Why not play to win something real while you're at it? Have fun at DealDash.com. Imagine a brand new 16-megapixel camera for only $1, a 55-inch big-screen TV for less than $30, and $500 gift cards to big-box retailers for less than $3. Go to DealDash.com for crazy savings and a whole lot of fun. Laptops, smartphones, gift cards, and even furniture. It's like playing a deal-a-minute game of whack-a-mole. Hundreds of deals up to 99% off retail. Your friends will think you won the lottery. Get your first bid pack with a 100% satisfaction guarantee. DealDash.com. It's a rush. For a limited time only, get 100 free bid credits when you use promo code HAPPY at DealDash.com. Start winning the biggest deals of your life. Go to DealDash.com and use code HAPPY to get your 100 free bids.
Attention, this is a public notice from Citizens Disability. If you are one of the millions of Americans who are disabled and unable to work, you may be entitled to disability benefits from Social Security. Receiving benefits is your right if you suffer from a physical or mental disability. Whether you're applying for the first time or you've already been denied, Citizens Disability can help. You'll be given an advocate who will evaluate your situation, handle your application, and deal with Social Security. Best of all, there is no fee until you receive your benefits. We only get paid if you win your case. To get started with your free no-obligation consultation, call 800-504-1639. That's 800-504-1639. There are a vast number of conditions that can make you eligible for disability benefits, many that you may not be aware of. So if you're disabled and unable to work, call Citizens Disability today. Again, that's 800-504-1639. 800-504-1639. That's Citizens Disability. 800-504-1639.
Any home or business can quickly become infested with mold with the introduction of a water source, like a roof or plumbing leak. When your home, your belongings, your business becomes damaged, it's not just about cleaning up the mess. It's about reclaiming your life, and that's why you need to call the Water and Mold Removal Hotline. A licensed, fully insured, affordable, non-invasive solution to solving any water and mold problems. Our team of trained specialists are available with 24/7 emergency service. We will quickly evaluate your problem and give you a plan that will guarantee results. Water causes damage and mold can spread throughout your property in as little as 48 to 72 hours and can produce allergens and irritants that have the potential to cause serious health hazards. So don't waste time. Give us a call now. For any water or mold problems, call the Water and Mold Removal Hotline.
Call 800-432-8430 today for a free estimate. That's 800-432-8430. 800-432-8430.
How deep in debt are you? $10,000? $15,000? Maybe even more? And every day that goes by, you know what happens. Your debt gets larger and larger and larger. Well, if you've had it with your mushrooming debt problem and the stress it is causing you, make this free call today to the Debt Solutions Network. One quick, no-obligation call is all it takes for one of our partner companies to show you how they can help you get out of debt. So if you have $10,000 or more in combined debt and you want to learn how you can solve it, make this free, no-obligation call now.
800-814-5035. 800-814-5035.
If you are in serious debt, you have to get out of it and fast. Call my friends at the Debt Solutions Network now.
800-814-5035. 800-814-5035. Call us 24/7. 800-814-5035.
Stars. Now let's go to Mark Lack.
Our guest today is Alan Mamon. He is the founder of Safe Ride. This guy's only 16 years old, and he flew here from New York to be with us. Alan, it's a pleasure, brother.
It's a pleasure to be here.
So when did you know that you wanted to be an entrepreneur? You're 16 years old. It's incredible. Yeah. I didn't even get started in entrepreneurship until 23.
Wow, okay.
And I can only imagine if I got started at 16. So when did you know? When was the light bulb moment?
Yeah, so ever since I was like young, I always had a passion for making money. In sixth grade, I was selling, you know, Beats I bought off Alibaba, for example. So until like mainly this year, though, I really started to call myself an entrepreneur. I started going to these conferences, you know, reading online, watching YouTube videos, and then I was like, wait a second, I started to connect all the dots. It all matched up to me. So that's when I started, you know, applying for things like this, you know, magazines, and then that's kind of how I stepped up. But
who are some of the people you watch on YouTube? Shout them out.
Gary Vaynerchuk.
Gary V.
Ty Lopez occasionally.
Ty, yep.
Yeah, just a few other, you know, there's like 10 top 10 rules for success, those videos.
You.
Yeah.
Cool, man. Yeah. So you got started watching those guys, you started to get the ideas. You've kind of always been somebody selling stuff.
Yeah.
What do your friends think about this?
My friends, I have like two friends. Like, what was... Like,
I have, two different categories of friends.
Sorry about that. I have my co-founder friends, like really good close friends. And
entrepreneur friends and non-entrepreneur friends.
Exactly. And yeah, those ones, we work in the business together. Things like Nito, for example.
We know about them.
Yeah.
What about the ones that are not entrepreneurs? And they're 16 years old. Yeah. They're in high school with you. Maybe they've had a couple of jobs or summer jobs. They probably think you're crazy.
Yeah, for the most part. They think that that I'm always stressing, I could say, sometimes. Mm-hmm. So yeah.
How are you doing? Are you still in school?
Yeah, I'm still in school. I'm going to become a senior next year.
How are you doing in school right now? I was a C student.
Yeah,
so
yeah. Grade-wise, not the best.
Okay. But you're going to be the guy. You're
exactly.
Gonna be,
hopefully.
You're going to be one of those guys. You know, I fall into that category. Yeah. Where I was getting the C's. I didn't do well in class.
Yeah.
But went on. And you're going to be one of those guys that they're going to look at and hopefully be like the next Mark Zuckerberg.
Hopefully,
you know?
Yeah.
You're excited. You're like, that's my plan.
Yep.
What are you most excited about right now? You've got a couple companies. You can talk about those.
Yeah, so I'm excited to raise funding and kind of like make that upper step. You know, I mean, right now I'm still a kid.
Yeah.
But hopefully next year and the year after when I'm going to college, I can be taken more seriously and raise more money and funding that allow me to create an actual business and success.
Don't have that mindset, though, of being a kid, because I remember when I was 18 getting started studying this stuff. 23 is when I actually became an entrepreneur, started my first business. But the mindset of thinking I'm so young, I'm just a kid.
Yeah.
Is what actually slowed me down.
Okay.
It has its benefits, but its benefits are when you're aware of when to use the youth.
Yeah.
So the fact that you're 16, you can use that in so many ways where people are going to be like, oh my God, this guy's 16 years old. I'll take the meeting or I'll do this. So tell us more about SafeRide. That's the company that you're the founder of. And then we'll talk about some of the other ones you're in as well.
Okay. So SafeRide was an app I made when I was 15 years old. It was about last year, actually. And I basically created it. It's an application that allows you to drive safely without having your friends or family feel like they're being left out when they text you. It does this by having an automatic message. So let's say you go into your car, right? You hit the app, hit on. And now from since then until you turn the app off, whenever you receive a text message, it'll say, hey, I'm driving right now. I cannot reply to you at the moment, but I'll try to get to you back as soon as possible. And that allows the friends or family kind of think like, okay, look, he's busy. He's not ignoring me.
Yeah.
And that was kind of why I did it.
That's genius.
Yeah, thank you.
But it's like, it's so simple.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's one of those things where it's like, there's stuff that's coming out on a daily basis almost with technology now where it's just like, come on, how did I not think of that?
Yeah.
But most importantly, it's executing the idea. Yeah. But I want to hear, how did you come up with the idea?
Yeah, so basically, I saw that there was some...
Do you even have a driver's license?
I do now, I do.
You do? Okay,
yeah, I got that this year, actually.
Okay, I was like, you can't even drive, and you came up with a safe ride idea.
So I had the idea. I was in the summer. I was kind of bored, right? I wanted to do something better and better. And I thought of this idea first, because I was in health class, and we learned that people are getting killed from texting and driving. And, like, texting and driving, it's not like drunk driving. There's a big difference between both of them. So with texting and driving, I was like, that's pretty preventable.
Yeah.
Almost everyone
does it.
Exactly. And then in the summertime, I looked up other apps that are like it. And there were a few ones out there, but those were filled with ads, all laggy.
Yeah.
And I was like, why is there such a simple one where you just hit one button and that's it? You're good.
So obviously I have to upload my contacts.
Yeah.
And then basically...
No. You know, you open the app, hit on, that's it.
How?
That's just the way it works. Yeah.
So it automatically knows my contacts,
yeah.
And when somebody text messages me...
It automatically replies, as if you're replying.
Can I pick the reply, or is it just the same boilerplate?
Right now, it's the same thing, but we were planning to do like some sort of algorithm where it's like, I can reply in like 5 minutes if you put a GPS. But yeah, right now, it's just simple, like that, yeah.
Can we talk about users?
Yeah.
Okay, so what are you guys doing to acquire users?
So users, it's not like a big thing. This was kind of more of a small project when I was 15. But luckily, we've had thousands of downloads, just basically from word of mouth, from articles, stuff like that. But
things like this as
exactly.
Well.
But it was really just meant for like more myself and like maybe my friends, some people that want to check it out.
Yeah.
But it was just like there's nothing out there that's that simple. And why can't we make something more?
So
simple?
This seems like something where you'd probably want to try to get it in front of. Actually, I don't know. I was going to say get in front of, like, an Uber.
Yeah.
Just even for all the Uber drivers out there.
Funny thing, sorry, is I actually contacted Uber about that.
Okay.
Then nothing was resolved.
So tell us about your other company. I know you've got a couple things you're doing right now. What are the other ones?
Yeah, so right now I'm working in the city on Nito. And Nito is basically, like, think of... So you know there's, like, a New York story and an LA story.
Mm-hmm.
But we don't really have those for high schools and colleges. And now there's other apps that do that. But at the same point, we actually provide being anonymous and voting and stuff and commenting.
Okay.
So think of like Yik Yak and Snapchat stories combined. And that's kind of what we made. And kids in our school already love using it. And right now we're still in beta. We're actually pending approval, but it should be up within the next week or so.
How do you come up with all these ideas?
What
inspires you?
It's like, well, that one wasn't like too hard to think of because it was like, okay, look, there's a problem here. We don't have this kind of thing for your school. And at the same time, we don't want to be like this other app where no one really enjoys, you know, being all, I don't know, what would be the exact word for it, being all exact in terms of uploading stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
So this allows you to vote and comments. And
so that's
all
your
anonymous.
Differentiators.
Exactly, and it's all anonymous.
Okay. What are your conditioning? I'm, like, so inspired by you. Just at 16 years old, you're doing all this stuff. And this is what I feel like so many kids are capable of, but they're not doing it.
Yeah.
So I guess my question for you is, what do you think is making you different and going down the, you know, treacherous path of entrepreneurship at such a young age where so many other kids aren't doing that? Because you're there. You're in high school right now, and you get to see the difference between the kids like you, which is pretty much none, and then all the other kids. What do you think the difference is?
So basically, I kind of like looked down into my future. You know, and I told myself, do I really want to be 40 years old working for some other Joe Schmo at some corporate job? And I told myself, no, I'd rather work for myself. Maybe I could be that Joe Schmo at that corporate job that hires people and is the boss. So I told myself, like, I wouldn't be happy, you know what I mean, working like that at a desk job. So I thought, why not take this risk, venture out, and try to be more? So, yeah.
I love that. And what about your parents? Your parents obviously had to help shape you into who you are. You're still young enough where you're probably still living at home.
Yeah, yeah.
So your parents have a huge impact over how you're conditioned in the environment that you're actually in on a daily basis. So tell us a little bit about your parents and how they've helped you become who you are.
Yeah, so my parents, they were very pro-school. They kind of wanted me, you know, at a young age, start playing piano, learn different languages, stuff like that. And I was okay with it when I was younger. And then when I started to go into high school, I was like, why am I really doing all this? And then I kind of messed up in terms of grades. I told myself, okay, then if I mess up with grades, I can focus on something else. So then I focused on entrepreneurship. And then there was a little phase where they were like, okay, not okay. But at this point, they're pretty proud of me. So
that's wonderful, brother. So moving forward,
what
do you see yourself doing or, you know, accomplishing in the next 3 years?
Okay,
and
so,
you'll still only be 19, which is insane.
Hopefully I see myself running a successful company, without a doubt. Maybe, you know, having a nice office space, being a CEO of something.
Yeah.
And hopefully, mainly helping people, you know, putting value in my product that will help people. That would be my main concern.
What are your impact goals? Are you one of those guys that's like, I want to change a billion people's lives? Yeah. What are you trying to do?
Well, I'm trying to start off small. I mean, I admire people like Elon Musk, for example, right? With Tesla, SpaceX, they do all these great things. But I know that it's step by step. It's a step by step process. I can't just jump up and say, I want to save a billion people's lives.
Yeah.
So already with SafeRide, for example, I'm having an impact. by helping preventing texting and driving. But in terms of the long term, I'm not exactly sure yet, but I definitely would like to leave a bigger footprint.
We'll be right back to talk more with Alan Mamon. I'm Mark Lack on Business Rockstars, connecting a community of entrepreneurs. Join us on Facebook, Twitter, and online at businessrockstars.com.
April is Parkinson's Disease Awareness Month and shines a light on this serious disorder affecting approximately 1 million people in the U.S. Parkinson's disease is a progressive chronic movement disorder that can lead to tremors, muscle stiffness, and slow movements. As the disease advances, some people may begin to have increasing off episodes or periods of slowness, stiffness, and overall poor mobility, despite taking their medication as prescribed. Dr. Fennett T. Phipps, Associate Professor of Neurology at Vanderbilt University, further explains.
As Parkinson's disease progresses, patients may have to take higher doses of their medications more often and still experience off time. This can make living with their disease both difficult and unpredictable. Because Parkinson's disease progression varies from patient to patient.
U2 America TV, featuring original live programs created with you in mind. Engage with shows through social media and the U2 America app. America Trends with Dr. Gina covers the trending topics of the day and allows viewers to interact with the show. Sully's Biz Brew is business with a barroom slant, delivered with a twist. Visit U2America.com to find a channel near you. U2 America. Red, white, and you.
Non-attorney paid spokesperson. Could your house go into foreclosure? Are you behind on your mortgage payments? Foreclosure Protection Services can help save your home as they specialize in foreclosure assistance. If you're behind on your mortgage payments, being threatened with foreclosure, have been denied a loan modification, or been the victim of a predatory loan, call Foreclosure Protection Services now at 800-848-2370. Their network of attorneys and their agents are available to speak to you now. Call Foreclosure Protection Services now at 800-848-2370. That's 800-848-2370.
Do you owe $10,000 or more on at least two federal student loans? Then you may qualify for new programs offered by the Department of Education. These programs can reduce your interest, lower your payments, and possibly qualify you for loan forgiveness. If you have $10,000 or more and at least two federal student loans and currently not in school, you may qualify for one of these programs. Call now to check your eligibility. Student loan advisors are standing by to help you determine if you qualify for these new programs. They can help you reduce your interest, lower your payment, and even forgive a portion of your student loan debt. Take control of your financial future. Make this free 5-minute free call now to Nationwide Student Loans and learn how you can reduce your student loan debt.
800-439-1588, 800-439-1588, 800-439-1588, 800-439-1588. Are you ready to leave your corporate job behind and be your own boss? Have you ever dreamed of owning a business? Do you have $50,000 or more sitting around in a 401k? If you answered yes, it's time to invest in yourself by buying or starting a business or franchise. IRS code allows you to use money in a 401k to invest in a business with absolutely no penalties or taxes. At Guidant Financial, we've helped more than 11,000 entrepreneurs invest $3 billion in retirement assets into the small businesses and franchises of their dreams. So if you've got $50,000 or more in a 401k and you're looking for a way to start a business, call Guidant Financial now for free information and to learn more. Operators are standing by for your call. 800-570-6630. 800-570-6630. 800-570-6630. That's 800-570-6630.
Now let's go to Mark Lack.
Our guest today is Alan Mamon. He's the founder of SafeRide. Alan, it's a pleasure to have you with us.
Pleasure to be here.
So what is SafeRide?
SafeRide is a mobile application that I made when I was 15. And basically it allows you to drive without having your parents or your family or friends basically feel like they're being ignored by not responding to them. the application has an automatic response by saying, hey, I'm currently driving right now. I can't reply to your text. I'll try to get back to you as soon as possible.
What I love about your app the most is that literally all I do is go to the SafeRide app.
Yeah.
I turn the on button, one click.
And that's it.
And then after that, the thing takes care of itself. And so when I'm driving, anyone who texts me is going to get an automatic reply that says, hey, I'm driving right now, not ignoring you. I'll hit you back up in a little bit.
Yeah.
I love that.
Thank you.
So you're up to a lot of things, though.
Yeah.
You're only 16 years old, which is so exciting because on your entrepreneurial journey, you could literally fail for another 10, 15 years and still end up becoming the next Mark Zuckerberg. So SafeRide, I love that. But you got another one. You got the tracker one, and you got Nito. Tell us about those.
So Nito right now is a mobile, another mobile application. I mainly build apps right now. But you know, there's like a New York story and a local LA story.
Yeah.
So basically, we wanted to have that for our high school. But at the same time, we wanted to kind of have the aspects of Yik Yak, where it was like anonymous and you could vote. So we kind of combined those together and we made something called Nito. It's an app where you can just submit any photo. It's completely location-based. And you swipe through them. You like them. You dislike them. You comment whatever you want. And it's completely anonymous.
Okay. And then what's the other one?
The other one's called Tracker. And this allows you to track your friends when you go out like partying on a Friday night. Let's say, for example, it's a group of guys, right? You guys are all going out. Some people get really drunk. Some people, you know, kind of stay more sober line. And this allows you, it gives you a map, right? And you can see where all your friends are relative to the location. And it tells you, you know, how far they are from you. If they like, you know, if they're...
So everyone's plastered and I go, oh, where's Jimmy at? And I got to pull open the app and find out where he is in the alley down the street.
And then if he's like 50 feet away or 100 feet away, it's completely configurable. Mm-hmm. It'll send an alert to everyone saying like, hey, Jimmy is 100 feet away. You may want to check in with him just in case something bad happens.
How did you come up with this? You're 16 years old. You shouldn't be focused on this drink and stuff. Yeah. How did you come up with that?
Basically, I was driving with my friend. I was in my car and he was in his car. I was like, wait, why can't I just track you? Because, you know, red lights, we get stopped behind each other. He goes forward, I stay back. And then there was something like that. But I was thinking, how else can this be applied? So then I was thinking, wait, it makes sense that people, you know, people, there are sick people out there, right? Where people get drunk and people
lots
get taken.
Lots of applications for the same thing.
Where they get taken advantage of when they're, you know, very drunk. Mm-hmm. And I thought, you know, this is a problem. And the one way to track it is that if it's a group of people going out, you could watch over for your friends.
So, but the app can actually be used for anything.
Yeah, basically.
Okay, so what made you specifically pick that niche? Because it sounds kind of like the other app, Find My Friends.
Yeah.
So what makes it guys different?
It's mainly meant for the nighttime, more of like, you know, you could check in, let's say it's 2 a.m.
Okay.
And all your friends, you want to make sure everyone's okay, you got home safely. Yeah. Just a little check-in, maybe you'll have a fingerprint verification, something that simple, where it would just basically be like a necessity for going out partying.
So you said you're mainly just doing apps. Yeah. These three things are apps.
Yeah.
Are you the one actually doing the coding and the program?
I myself am not personally doing it. I'm like more of like a project manager, you could say. I have developers outsourced and actually in the U.S. working for me, so that is pretty nice.
How do you fund this stuff?
So basically, with things like Freelancer, I could find a pretty good price developer.
Yeah.
And then I made a Minecraft server actually a few months back where I made a good amount of income every single month. Mm-hmm. And I basically use that to fund the rest of it. But sometimes every now and then.
Minecraft server? Yeah. What is that?
I'm familiar with Minecraft.
Yeah, yeah. But a Minecraft server.
So you could basically build a server in the game and you could charge money for things like ranks or like premium stuff, like maybe a better sword, for example. And that's kind of how we made income.
Wow. And so you did that, made your income, and now you're using it to fund these other projects?
Yep.
Wow, what's next for you? You've got three things right now. Are you focused on those or are you trying to do another one?
So right now I'm mainly focused on Tracker as we're in very beta development stage. Mm. So once that's out, hopefully I can raise some sort of venture funding and kind of get it out there as, you know, as the app that you want to download when you're with your friends partying.
How are you going to go about doing that? That's the hardest thing, right? Just get these users in there. So
I'm trying to get as many beta testers, you know, kind of validate the app before I even apply for anything.
Okay, what's the number that you're looking for?
Maybe a few hundred, maybe a few thousand. But just kind of where they're going to be like, okay, I'm not only downloading this app because I'm your friend, or I'm downloading this app so it can help me when I go out at night. Mm. That's kind of what we want as a response. And once we get that confirmed, that's when we're going to start going and pitching and stuff like that.
All right, so SafeRide, Nito, Tracker, you've got three different things going here. If you could only pick one, which one would it be?
Probably Tracker for now.
Okay, why is that?
I think it has the most potential, to be honest.
Okay, interesting. So why do you think that? Because I think the SafeRide one, in my opinion, probably has the most potential. But why do you think Tracker does?
The thing about SafeRide is that I couldn't develop it for iOS for some reason. Apple actually blocked third-party text for some reason.
Huh.
So that kind of cut off the iOS interface. And then also, it is simple, but you can't really monetize it exactly. And there are other apps, as I said before, like it. But there's nothing that simple. So, yeah, that was kind of it. And then for Nito, it was a really fun project to do. Lots of kids in my town in high school liked it. We're probably going to be branching out to other colleges, see how it picks up there, but not exactly going to be full-fledged for that yet.
So you've got, like, a very, very limited amount of experience in entrepreneurship so far. But what I want to know is, what are some of the things that you think make entrepreneurship difficult? You've just been dabbling in it for a little bit, but, you know, I don't think you've had enough time yet to really weather the storms of entrepreneurship. Some would say even I haven't, because people that have been in it for 30 years is different than somebody who's been in it for 10 years.
Yeah.
So, but from your perspective now, what do you think some of the hardest parts about entrepreneurship?
I'd probably just say the risks, you know what I mean? Anyone can go and, you know, get a 4.0 GPA and go to a regular job and take no risks. They'll still be successful.
And think they're successful
making
$60,000, $70,000.
Like, exactly.
Crushing it,
and
bro.
And then now all the taxes are going up, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So that could be the definition of successful, but that's not really taking a risk. When you become an entrepreneur, you know what I mean? You're completely forgetting about that norm. You're going off in another direction.
Yeah, anyone who's excited about the minimum wage pay going up is probably not somebody who's going to become an entrepreneur.
That's right.
They're not willing to be able to weather the storms of the risks.
Yeah.
So, you know, on your journey ahead, what do you think are some of the inevitable things that you're going to have to face?
Definitely, I don't know, I would totally say failure. I wouldn't mind. I mean, I understand that failure is obviously bad, but at the same time, it looked as really good. You can learn a lot from failure more than actually winning.
Just depends on how you look at it.
Exactly.
Right? At the end of the day, without a rainbow is not going to come out without
rain
and a storm, and the stars can't shine unless it's dark. So there's all these silly little cliche sayings. But at the end of the day, you're right. As an entrepreneur, we have to really stay focused on the fact that failure is something that we can learn from.
Yeah.
How have you learned to reframe failure as actually a learning tool? Because you're in high school still, you're going into your senior year, and school conditions you to believe failure is a bad thing. If you don't pass your test, you failed, right? And if you don't pass the class, you got to retake it. Your parents get mad at you. Your friends make fun of you. The teachers think you're worthless. So failure, we're conditioned to believe, is a bad thing.
That's right.
But you've learned to reframe that at such a young age. How'd you come up with that?
Yeah, so I just learned, like, okay, where did I go wrong? I kind of, you know, reverse engineered it. I go, did I try as much effort into promoting it, for example, or as much as effort into designing it? And then that's kind of where I learned, okay, look, next time I do this, put more effort into this. Because in reality, at the end of the day, the only thing you can control is effort, if you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Okay,
so how did you come up with this? You've been watching videos of Gary Vee.
Yeah.
You've been watching stuff with Tai Lopez, a lot of different guys that are friends and mentors of mine. I love it. But did they help shape that? Did your parents help shape that? Where'd you get that?
I didn't start watching those videos until like this year mainly, like this year and the past year.
Okay.
But I said before, I've always been an entrepreneur since I was the youngest age, sixth grade probably.
Yeah.
And even younger than that, I was just trying to sell whatever I could get my hands on. But in terms of learning, I think it's all mainly from personal experience. I think that you can't really learn unless you actually experience it yourself. Sure, you can be told that this will happen if you do this, but I think that you really have to experience it in order to actually understand to the full context.
I believe in that as well, because at the end of the day, you know, you can learn as much as you can from books and from other people out there, but nothing is going to replace experience. That doesn't mean that you shouldn't go and learn from mentors and people to shorten your learning curve and tell you about the treacherous roads ahead. Like, if I'm going to climb Mount Everest, I don't want to learn that on my own.
Exactly.
I want to learn from somebody who's done it 10, 20, 30, 100 times.
That's right.
Same thing with entrepreneurship. Before you become an entrepreneur, you better have read as many books and gone to as many seminars and hopefully have some great mentors in your life to help you prepare for the journey ahead. Who do you have as mentors right now?
I don't have any direct mentors in terms of personal
life. But they can be in books.
Exactly, yeah.
Books,
so, I mean, people like Gary Vee, I could say, are technically a mentor. I read books on the daily now. I just finished How to Win Friends.
Perfect, Dale Carnegie. How to Win
Dale
Friends
Carnegie.
And Influence People.
That's right.
What about Think and Grow Rich, Napoleon Hill? Have you read that one?
I have not read that one yet.
And
I just finished 0 to 1 with Peter Thiel.
Yeah, great book as well. So definitely read Think and Grow Rich by Napoleon Hill.
Okay.
Read Awaken the Giant Within by Tony Robbins. Mm-hmm. And read How to Get Everything You Can Out of All You've Got by Jay Abraham.
Right.
And Having It All by John Astroff. Those are some incredible mentors and friends of mine. And those books have really helped shape me into becoming the person and the entrepreneur that I am today. What do you see in your future in regards to raising money? Do you think for SafeRide or for Nido or for Tracker that you're going to have to raise funds, or are you going to constantly try to bootstrap this thing?
So I think something for Tracker, we'd have to raise funds eventually.
Yeah.
I think that, as I said before, once you get the validation process of like people saying, yes, I will most definitely use this app when I go out with my friends, that's when we'll know, okay, it's very possible to raise funding, because even if we have like an ad out there, it's a lot easier for someone to say, okay, I'm going to pick up this thing because I could see myself using it, than just being like, oh, it's another ad on my Facebook page.
Yeah.
So,
I think SafeRide really will be the biggest home run just in regards to the amount of people that will use it.
Yeah.
I think Tracker people might use a few times a week, but SafeRide people could
drive
use
every day.
Multiple times a day.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I could use it on the way here, I could use it on the way back.
Yeah.
There's so many different times, and I think that there's two main metrics people are looking for with apps. It's how many users are on the platform and have downloaded it. And second one, which some people say is more important, how consistently do they use the app?
Yeah, sure.
And so, you know, there's a billion people on Facebook, but they're also on it 12 times a day. So
that's right.
That's why it's so valuable. Same thing with Snapchat. 10 billion snaps a day.
Yeah, mainly because of the streaks. When they added the streaks,
that's what I'm saying. Yeah, 10 billion Snapchats a day. What?
Yeah.
So I think you guys could be doing 10 billion, you know, safe rides a day.
Yeah.
So that's just my input. What do you think you can do to help blow up SafeRide? Because at the end of the day, you said you tried to reach out to Uber. I gave you some little tips on how I think you can geo-target with Facebook boosted posts the people that work at the headquarters, as well as people that work there in general, specifically the C-level executives. But what do you think? What are some things that you could do?
With SafeRide, definitely more promotion. I mean, I haven't actually, I've bought in a few ads for it, but nothing too serious to a point. And I would say that's the main point for now, try to get downloads and then maybe pitch it to get more funding to do that. But yeah, other than that, I don't see myself really doing too much with the app. I think it's kind of it was really cool that I made it when I was 15. And now it's time to move on to other things because there are other apps like it, as I said before, and I don't want to seem like I'm too copying.
I'd love to see this thing blow up, dude. I'd love to see you on the cover of Forbes and be like, this guy sold SafeRide for $100 million or something. I'd be like, who's those commercials?
It's my guy, I'll cut you in, you know what I mean?
That's right, get me in there, bro.
Yeah.
I love it, man. I think that you're up to some amazing things, and I just can't wait to see you succeed. You're 16 years old. You're on an incredible journey, and your start is incredible. Most people don't have the type of start you have right now and the background you have. So, brother, it's been a pleasure.
Thank you.
I can't wait to see you take off, man.
All right. Have a nice day.
I'm Mark Lack on Business Rockstars, connecting a community of entrepreneurs. Join us on Facebook, Twitter, and online at businessrockstars.com.
Is your body language making you look arrogant? I'm Alex Worley with the Business Rockstars Minute. There is a fine line between being cocky and confident. Believe it or not, body language can send cues to others about you and your personality. Are you sending the wrong messages? The following are some nonverbal cues that leave you looking arrogant to your team. Number one, avoiding eye contact. It makes you look uninterested or unwilling to participate in the conversation. Number two, crossing your arms. This stance closes you off from others and can make you look inaccessible. Number three, forgetting about your facial expressions. Remember, you don't want to lack confidence or seem unengaged. Avoid the arrogance gap. A simple tweak of your mannerism can make you appear more confident or even be more confident. I'm Alex Worley, and this has been a Business Rockstars Minute.
Not available in all states.
Hey, you two, what brings you to the mall?
We're just here checking on our robot.
Your robot?
Yeah, our recent Irby's Froyo robot. Diane and I became franchisees last month.
And couldn't be happier. It serves premier frozen yogurt creations to customers in 60 seconds, and the yogurt is delicious.
Yep, our customers absolutely love it. That's it over there.
Whoa, that's incredible. People really do love your Froyo robot. So, you own this?
Sure do. Recent Irby's Froyo robots are available across the country, and it's super easy. Recent Irby's provided us with everything we needed. They even help you secure amazing locations. Movie theaters, grocery stores, college campuses, theme parks. They make any location a sensation.
And everyone loves frozen yogurt. That's incredible. How do I get a Froyo robot of my own?
You just go to froyofranchising.com and enter promo code 9595. But hurry, because locations and robots are going fast.
Froyo.
Yeah, froyofranchising.com. Promo code 9595.
This is A Healthier You, and I'm Grace Marie Turner, president of the Galen Institute. Innovation is a hallmark of American healthcare, particularly where medicines are concerned. The people who benefit most from this innovation are American patients, but increasing restrictions by both public and private payers threaten patients' access to the very breakthrough drugs American industry produces. In a poll we took last year, 87% of respondents said that fostering policies that support medical innovation should be a top priority for members of Congress. But discovery isn't enough. 86% of those polls also said we must assure that Medicare and private health care plans cover new treatments and cures. Innovation is only half the picture. Giving patients access to the cures that innovation produces is what makes a world-class healthcare system. Policymakers should take note. For more details, check out Facebook Better Healthcare Policy.
You should.
I live alone and rarely have visitors. So when I slipped and fell in the kitchen last month,
and couldn't get to a phone, I knew I was in trouble.
Help!
I could barely move.
Help!
I tried calling for help, but no one could hear me. As I lay there, I couldn't help but think of my kids and grandkids having to go on without me. I was terrified. It took 8 hours for my neighbor to find me. It could have been the end of me. That's when I knew I needed Life Alert. With just one press of this button, I'm connected to the Life Alert Center, where I can get the help I need, even when I cannot reach a phone. With Life Alert, I'm never alone.
For a free Life Alert brochure, call 800-635-4993. That's 800-635-4993. Call now at 800-635-4993 to get a free brochure. 800-635-4993.
Here's George Foreman with InventHelp.
Hi, I'm George Foreman. Do you have an idea for a new product or invention? People ask me all the time, George, how do I get my idea in front of companies? How do I get a patent? What do I do next? Do you have the same questions? I'll tell you like I'll tell them all. Call my friends at InventHelp.
Call InventHelp today for free information. InventHelp has been helping inventors for more than 30 years and has sales offices nationwide. InventHelp can submit your invention to companies who are interested in receiving new ideas. If you have an idea and want to try to patent it and submit it to companies, you should call InventHelp today for free information.
Listen, I can't guarantee a company will be interested in your idea, but I believe every inventor deserves the opportunity to step into the ring and take their best shot. Put InventHelp in your corner.
To get your free inventor's information, call 1-800-351-1453. That's 1-800-351-1453. Again, 1-800-351-1453.
Stars. Now let's check in with Pat O'Brien.
We are here to inspire, inform, and connect the community of entrepreneurs. Welcome to Business Rockstars. I'm Pat O'Brien. This is CEO Roundtable with Dr. Jerry Marini and Reed Genauer. Both of you, welcome, and thanks for coming here.
Thank you.
We're talking about being a CEO, Terra Physics Corporation, and Magisto?
Yes.
What does Magisto do?
Magisto automates video editing using artificial intelligence.
All right, well, that's purposeful, right?
Yeah.
And so is yours. What do you do?
Terra Physics develops hardware amplifiers that will enable 5G, basically.
What are some of the things you wish you knew when you started up, besides everything?
Yeah, besides everything. I think one of the things that I wish I understood better was how to sort of handle the ups and downs, the amplitude of, there's amplitude in life in general, but as an entrepreneur, it's exaggerated.
Roller coaster.
Yeah. Right. And so you tend to think that whatever direction you're headed in is the direction, as opposed to, you know, part of a larger.
Exactly. I like that. How about you?
No, I agree with that. Also, to diversify a product line a bit, to not be focused on only one industry. Early on, we were focused very heavily on just one industry, and of course, those industries have their ups and downs, and all of a sudden, you've got no customers.
All of a sudden?
Yeah. The telecom disaster was like that.
Yeah. How do you plug in and plug out and unplug or check out? How do you relax?
I have to confess, I have a hard time doing that.
Why?
I don't know. I think it's part of it's a chicken or an egg kind of thing. I think that entrepreneurship draws people who are, you know, highly energetic and driven. And so, and then you engage in something that is interesting to you.
Right.
By definition, you're not a cog, right? You're doing something you're passionate about. And so it's hard to put it down.
Isn't the perfect scenario is that your job is what unplugs you?
Yeah, I guess it's, you know, it's. I agree that it's with
you.
You
like your job so much.
Yeah, then. It's with you 24/7. I guess I
understand what you're saying, too, by the way.
A couple of years ago, I built through eBay a complete 1970s stereo system with a good turntable and all that. And I bought a bunch of albums all over again. And that's kind of how I relax. Take the time to actually listen to an album. And normally, I don't even like more than one song on a side, but
Now, when you listen, because you're in that business, when you listen to an album, do you hear the different kinds of phonics? And
yeah, okay. Definitely.
So you're one of those people I don't want in my house listening to my album collection. It's been scratched over a million times. How do you nurture new clients and develop new projects as a CEO?
That's a good question. I think it depends on what class client you're talking about, right? So if it's a consumer, it's a big process to talk to many, many individuals. But I think, you know, the unifying thing is, and I think it's a theme that I would say cuts across all the functions of entrepreneurship, is empathy, right? Is understanding what it is the individual you're talking to really wants and needs,
right. And
listening to them instead of always trying to sell, right? And
right. And
we have a tendency as people just to sell our ideas, right, at a cocktail party. And so, like, actually having a dialogue and understanding, right. I think, is central.
So the easy answer is to be a human being, right?
That's right. And to really understand what it is they need. And if you don't have any ability to deliver it, it's best to be honest about that.
We are here to inspire, inform, and connect a community of entrepreneurs. This is Business Rockstars. I'm Pat O'Brien. Jerry Marini and Reid Genauer are our guests. This is CEO Roundtable. How do you keep your employees? How many employees do you have?
We have at Magisto just shy of 60.
Okay. How do you keep them passionate and happy? And
I think it...
Humane. Sane.
Sane? I'm not sure we do. But I think that people come to a company for a reason, right? For a culture, for a category, for a product. And we have people who come because they are passionate about video, they're passionate about technology, they're passionate about AI, and they're curious. They're like students of life. And I think most entrepreneurs are. And so if you hire people who have that curiosity and you give them the freedom to feed that curiosity and maybe, you know, point it in the right direction, you have a happy workforce. Now, of course, there's, you know, the mundane things of compensation and even, you know,
HR, all that.
Yeah. Right. But I think the big, you know, that 20,000 feet is you have to, particularly for an entrepreneurial role, feel impassioned and like alive when you come to work.
And I agree. I mean, it's a technical company. It's a small company in our case. People who apply there have come for a reason. I've rarely had somebody want to work there because they were just looking for a job. There is something that they already have that motivates them to want to work in an establishment like that. And then it's a pretty good work environment. You know, it's not high pressure generally. We're all very helpful. We're small enough. We only have 20 employees. That it's more like a kind of like a family type atmosphere.
How do you resolve conflict in the office, if there is any? There has to be at least a conflict of ideas every time.
Yeah, we have conflict all the time, and in fact, we encourage it. Right, at least contained conflict, and I think that's the answer. Right, and so I think. Having, like, being human and having, it's sort of like marriage, right? Like, you have to say what you actually think. And if you don't, right, it just becomes cancerous. And so what I find refreshing in my colleagues, in people who work for me or who I've worked for, is that honest dialogue. I'd rather have somebody say to me, I think you're wrong and your idea is terrible, than to tell my somebody else.
Behind your back.
Yeah. And that's the way I think you resolve conflict, is by having it openly.
Thank you both for joining us.
Thanks,
CEO Roundtable. We are here to inspire, inform, and connect a community of entrepreneurs. This has been Business Rockstars. I'm Pat O'Brien. We'll see you next time.
If your credit card bills have gotten out of hand, call Consolidated Credit now. If you're making the minimum payments, but your balance is just not going down, call Consolidated Credit now. If the interest rates on your credit cards are so high, it will take years to get out of debt, call Consolidated Credit now. They've helped over 5 million people with credit card debt. They can consolidate your debts into one lower payment, reduce your interest rates, and get you out of debt fast. If you're struggling with credit card debt, the first step is yours. Call Consolidated Credit now. Call 800-463-1749. 800-463-1749. That's 800-463-1749. Consolidated Credit Counseling Services Incorporated, 5701 West Sunrise Boulevard, Fort Lauderdale, Florida, 33313. Not a loan company. Licensed by the New York Department of Financial Services and by the Vermont Department of Financial Regulation. Maryland DM-19, Oregon DM-80031. Licensed by the Virginia State Corporation Commission. License number DC-32.
BizTalk Radio.